Good morning, Rabbos. We're finishing Emir Tashem today the topic of Netilas Yadayim and all its various fashions, like we've been learning Emir Tashem, going on to some other things as well. The last Inyan in the Halachas and Netilas Yadayim we're going to cover, brought in Sif Kav Beis of Simon Dalet. Mechaber brings down what happens in circumstances when a person does not have access to water, when the water is not readily available, but the person has a situation like we've been discussing the past couple of days where Netilas Yadayim is necessary. What exactly is the person supposed to do? Should they make a bracha, etc.? So Mechaber brings the following basic guideline that's there. Although the chatzchila, obviously, we want to try to wash our hands with water whenever there's a time but we need to wash. If a person, whatever the circumstance is, does not have access to the water, the ikar goal is to try to make sure that the hands can be cleaned off. So the Mechaber brings down the basic idea is that if you have some kind of a hard substance, even a soft substance, something that can rub whatever it is off your hands. So the idea is that you want to try basically just to rub off, to scratch off, if you will, some of the dirt or whatever it is that might be over there on your hands. The Mechaber brings an example of pebbles, of dirt. More common examples might be on the other side of a stender, on the table, etc., on the back of a chair, a cushion. In theory, the post can bring down, a person can wipe his hands on his pants, or whatever it is, just to clear off the hands that are there. The Mechaber then also brings a halacha that if that's going to be done, we actually have the right to make a bracha on that in circumstances when a bracha is required on a Netilas Yadayim. In particular, meaning really the only real example is if a person woke up in the morning and they had the chiyuv that we learned before of Netilas Yadayim, where we actually make a bracha on a Netilas Yadayim in the morning, their first washing. If they didn't have access to water and all they did was to rub off their hands on some kind of a substance, they would make a bracha. But here the Mechaber notes, and this is the way we follow in Pesach as well, that we don't make a bracha al netilas yadayim. The bracha would have been made al nikiyus yadayim. The bracha thanking Hashem, so to speak, for the mitzvah of cleaning off the other hands that are there. Nikiyus yadayim. Now, the Shulchan Aruch brings down, though, however, we should be aware that when it comes to the idea of ruach ra, one really does want to make sure that they're washing their hands with water, not by rubbing their hands off on some other kind of a substance. So therefore, if a person had a situation where they woke up in the morning somewhere and they did not have access to water, for example, the example came up a couple of days ago. Someone had asked the question, a person who's flying on a plane and they wake up in the morning by sunrise over there on the plane, their neighbors are sleeping, they can't get out to go to the back and wash the Netilas Yadayim, or the seatbelt sign is on and you can't get up and walk back there, there's turbulence on the plane. So obviously you want to try to clean off your hands as early as possible. You rub them on the seat in front of you, behind you, and like that. However, when the person does have the opportunity to actually go and wash with water, a person does want to make sure to go and do that to guarantee that that ruach ra is actually going to be removed from the hand. And that's the basic idea of cleaning the hands off. Now, it should be noted that when a person follows this halacha of washing hands off, what's called a midei demanke, and it's something that can clean the hands off, the person has to make sure that the entire hand is going to be rubbed, the entire hand is going to be cleaned by whatever it was that you were cleaning. So for example, right? Practical example, a person needs to use the bathroom. They need to relieve themselves, okay? They're on a trip, on some kind of a tiyul, whatever it is, and it's not necessarily an organized bathroom with a sink, etc., that's going to be there. So, person will go off to the side of the road, they'll relieve themselves. What do I do now? There's not necessarily water to wash. You go to the nearest tree, to the nearest rock, to the nearest pair of pants, towel, etc. You wash your hands off, rub the hands on something. You'll make the brach of Asher Yotzar like normal, etc. And if, at whatever stage in the game, again, the person has water, you wash with water. But here, again, just to emphasize, the entire hand is meant to be clean. In other words, it's not enough to take the tips of your fingers, I'll just try to illustrate over here, and rub the tips of your fingers on a stender, rub the tips of your finger on your hands. You want to wash off or cleanse off the entire hand as if you were actually pouring water on the hand. That is a very not widely spread, there's not enough awareness about that. People just rub the tips of their fingers, etc. The entire hand should be rubbed, yeah. Okay, very, very fair question. What I would tell you is that it depends greatly on the circumstance. I'll give you the guidelines. If it's there's an issue of just, you think it's going to be, a couple of minutes, whatever it is, until the seatbelt sign goes off, right? So then it's probably better just to wait a little bit until you can go back and wash. If a person wakes up in the morning and they see that again, leaving out all the issues of how zmanei tefillah like that work on an airplane. But let's say a person needs to dive in, and the people are sleeping, doesn't want to, and it could be long, you have no idea. It could be next 6 hours at the galgadi, and it's hard for you to get out. So there, when you rub your hands on the seat, you would proceed like the mechaber says. You just make the bracha on the kiyos yadayim, and you go on with the davening, etc. So it greatly will depend on the circumstance that's there. Yeah. Once you did that, we are so made, even in terms of Ruach Ra, that if you're, again, in one of these bidyevet circumstances, don't really have another option yet, that you could touch food, that you could, rub your eyes and do any of those things. Although, again, we would recommend that when the person had the option of actually watching a reel back and forth in the Tilas Yedayim, that they definitely should do so. Yeah. If the person had already let's take our airplane example, right? They weren't really confident that they were going to be able to wash their hands so soon afterwards, and they rubbed their hands on something. They made a bracha of amikiyos yadayim. So if later on, whenever it was that you actually had access to water and wash, you would not make a bracha on a tilas yadayim over there. You already basically made the bracha and you did the thing. If you were in a circumstance like we described a second ago, where you just were rubbing your hands just because you wanted to start to learn, you wanted to make Birkas HaTorah or something like that in the morning, but you weren't really getting underway officially with your day, you're planning on going in and washing afterwards, you assume that you'll be able to do so in a couple of minutes, definitely better to hold off making the bracha until you wash, and you make the bracha on the Tilas Yadayim itself then. Yeah. Does it have any halachic implications? That is a very, very, very good question. The basic idea is that assuming if to the best of my knowledge, it's still like it's not a total liquid, it doesn't just pour out when you, is that true?
A little bit gel.
So those circumstances, we assume that's not halachically considered water. It's better than you're probably rubbing your hands on a thing. Your hands actually get clean. In other words, if you're worried about cleanliness, that is definitely a clean. In terms of the actual bracha on a tilas yadayim, you would not make a bracha on a tilas yadayim when you cleanse your hands like that. You would still want to be makpid to actually wash your hands off afterwards, if you have the option of doing so. Yeah. Okay. So here it depends. If you're going to be washing just to clean your hands off, the person used the bathroom, then they need to clean their hands before they make a bracha, etc. So there, you just rub the hands and you do whatever it is until you feel that the hands are rubbed off. What was that? When you have water it depends what you're washing for. In other words, if you have water, you just woke up in the morning, right, and you have the water but no kli. So there, it's better to just, like we mentioned before, to be turning the water on and off 3 times to be washing the hands. If it's one of the circumstances like we mentioned yesterday, you just wash your hands like regular without a problem. One time under the sink. Okay. That's going to call for today the halachas and tilas yadayim. We're going to be moving on to the next totally different area over here, found in Simon Hay. We'll try to keep this as a one-day topic. A very, very important Simon in Shulchan Aruch. Again, not so widely known. We're going to be coming to some more popular things as we go on, but for a little while right now, some lesser-known halachas. Simon Hay at Shulchan Aruch discusses the all-important topic called Kavanas HaBrachos. What exactly a person was supposed to be thinking about when they're making a bracha. The first thing first, the Shulchan Aruch brings down a din that a person should try to have what's called kavana for perish hamilas. The person should have a basic awareness of what the translation of the words is, what exactly he's saying to the Ribbono Shalom. Mishabura brings down a Gemara in Brachos Daf Kav Zayin, rather than the seventh parak, where the Gemara points out a din shelo yizrok habracha mipiv. A person shouldn't try, as the Gemara describes, not to throw the bracha flippantly out of his mouth. A person should try to make sure that the bracha has is a meaningful kind of a meaningful experience. El yechavein beis amira yevarech benachas, as the Mishabura explains. Try to focus on what you're saying. Try to make the bracha with some degree of tranquility, to say it slowly without being in that much of a rush. The Mishabura quotes from a sefer called the Sefer Chasidim. The Sefer Chasidim describes that when a person is about to make a bracha, he should actually try to take a moment to actually appreciate what it is that he's making the bracha about. Again, these things are not just from things. These are basic halachos that are there. You're about to make a bracha on whatever it is you're having for breakfast in the morning. Hopefully, we know what it is by the time we get there. But the person looks at the food on the table and should take just a quick second, if possible, to actually say, oh, even in his own language, whatever the thought is going to be in his mind, thank you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for the whatever it is, what a chesed I have of food to eat, etc., and then try to go into the process of making the bracha. There's a very, very important nuance that's there in the lashon that's used. We know that Jews throughout the world do not speak about saying a bracha, but the expression always is, we speak about making a bracha, translation from a Yiddish expression that developed whenever exactly it was. And the reason why that's the language that's used is because Einach Hanami, a bracha is meant not to be something that just said, where we say the words in a mechanical manner, but it's something that's made, and it's an experience that's meant to be created to connect us to the Ribbono Shalom. Again, this is not the topic of this particular siman, but just to give an example, when the Gemaras point out, also Masechet Brachos, that there's a din of making Me'ah Brachos B'chol Yom. A person has to strive to make 100 Brachos per day, which the Gemara describes as a medium to be used to gain Yirah Shemayim, to gain a certain awe and reverence for a Kadosh Baruch Hu. That just gives you a glimpse into the significance of what a bracha is meant to be. 100 times just quickly rattling off words out of our mouth is not necessarily going to create Yirah Shemayim, but 100 times a person actually thinks about the Chesed Hashem, the things that a Kadosh Baruch Hu does for us, the presence of the Ribbono Shalom, etc., like he's supposed to do when he's making the bracha. That would certainly advance the cause of of the Yirah Shemayim. The Mishnah Berurah brings one other quote, and then we'll speak about some of the halachas, but it's just an important, important line. Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Navi Yeshaya, who says the following line, Yan ki nigash ha'om hazeh b'pivu v'svasov kibdenuni, the nation of Klal Yisrael is approaching me, they're giving me honor with their mouths and with their lips, but libo richak mimeni, but their hearts might be distant, chalila b'chas, from me. In other words, what the Navi is telling us is that just saying the words is not really the way it is. We have to have our hearts, we have to have our minds and experience within that bracha as well. Now, what does that mean? How exactly is a person supposed to approach the idea of making a bracha? So the main topic of this siman over here is the focus on the Shem Hashem, to try to understand the meaning behind the various names of Hashem that are mentioning during the brachos. And there's actually a little bit of a machlokas how one is supposed to go about doing this. The Shulchan Aruch brings down as follows, okay? We're all familiar with the fact that the main name of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, what's called the Yud Kei Vav Kei, that's there. The Gemaras in Masechet Kiddushin point out that there's a halacha that we're not allowed to pronounce that name of Hashem. A very severe avera chalil v'chas, if one pronounces the name of a Kadosh Baruch Hu outside of the Beis HaMikdash, etc. The Gemara points out, a hoges Hashem ba'osiyos, if you pronounce the shame of Hashem with it, spelling out the actual letters, you're an ein lo chelek l'olam haba. Obviously, that's not something that we want to try to be doing. So, the Gemara points out as follows. Despite the fact that the name of Hashem is written with the Yud Kei Vav Kei, we don't pronounce the shame of Hashem like that. We all know that we pronounce the shame Hashem with the Ado Shem pronunciation. Obviously, you know how to say that properly. We all do that. But the Mechaber brings a very, very interesting halacha, which gives rise to an even more fascinating machlokas. According to the Shulchan Aruch, when the person says the shame of Hashem, I'm going to call right now the name of Adonus, that Hashem is the master, Ado Shem, the master of the world. So the Shulchan Aruch says when we're saying the words, we have to try to think about the fact that God is, like we just mentioned, the master of the universe. But, the Shulchan Aruch says, when saying that name of Hashem, we also have to try to have in mind the written name of Hashem, Yud Kei Vav Kei, that Hashem is, as we describe, Hoya Hove V'Yihyeh, He was, He is, He always will be, He's basically above time. And according to the Mechaber, when the person says Hashem's name, the way it's brought in Shulchan Aruch, the person has to have a dual kavana. There's on the one hand the way you pronounce the name, on the other hand the way we actually are writing the name, the way it might be printed there in the Siddur, and a person, according to the Shulchan Aruch, has to have both of those ideas there in mind. Now it happens to be that the Gra, the Mishnah Berurah brings down that in the Bira Gra, the Gra was Cholik, the Gra argued, and that's the din in the Shulchan Aruch. Now is not the time to get into the exact details of why, etc., all the rayas back and forth, but according to the Psak of the Gra, and the Bira of the Gra, we focus only on the pronunciation of the name of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, the Yud Kei Vav Kei, that a Kadosh Baruch Hu is the Adona, called the master of the universe, etc. The meaning of the written name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu according to the Gra, one is not supposed to be having in mind when they say that, when they say that name. Standard minhag probably is, okay, and this is something certainly to shoot for at first, in the beginning stages of our attempts to have a proper kavana during the brachos, certainly one should be taking the Gra's Shita into trying to put that into practice. Halavai, right, would it be a great accomplishment already, okay, if when we said the Shem Hashem, at very least we thought about the fact that Hashem is the master over the world and ourselves included, and we'll worry about whether or not we want to be trying to add the kavana that the Mechaber brings down in Shulchan Aruch at a different time. Now, one might have seen before, as they open up various sidurim, sometimes you'll find that a sidurim, particularly the Edut HaMizrach sidurim, will have this idea that when they write out the Yud Kei Vav Kei, they'll incorporate in between the letters a spell in, an Aleph, they'll put in a Dalet, a Nun, and a Yud at the end. That's an attempt to try to remind a person of the Psak of the Shulchan Aruch. The Sfaradim quite often, most of the time, will follow the Psak of the Mechaber, Maran, Beit Yosef, as opposed to Psakim of the Gra and other Ashkenazi poskim. And in deference to that, they in the Sidurim will actually try to write in both of those meanings of a Kadosh Baruch Hu's name, so the person reading from the Siddur will have that idea that's there in mind. The Mishnah Berurah points out one very quick thing, not exactly based on this halacha over here, but it's certainly important to note. Mishnah Berurah makes note of the fact that we have to try also to be careful to pronounce Hashem's name properly. Okay, and this is something that is very often not done correctly, and we really have to try to acclimate ourselves a little bit better too. But keep in mind that we're dealing here with God's name. Okay, Ad Kedei Kach, we speak about the idea of having Yiras Hashem, where we have to have a certain sense of awe and reverence when we approach HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name. Lahavdil Elef, Elef, Alfei, Alfei, Avdolos. Right? We all know that in today's day and age, there's a series of books that was written that featured someone that was known as He Who Shall Not Be Named. Right? Even the non-Jews, even the wizards and witches of the world know that there's certain things that you don't pronounce out of your mouth. You have an awe when you're saying something. The same thing is true, but again, on the side, the Kedusha Elef Alfei Avdolos, when we're saying a Kadosh Baruch Hu's name, that's not something that we should do lightly. He's not our friend. It's not something we don't take seriously. We have to try to learn how to pronounce it correctly as well. And Shabura points out as follows, and a couple of pitfalls. The very first letter, the Aleph that's there, and that the way it's pronounced at least, right, which has an ah kind of a sound, the next one, that's easy. The next letter, people will often mess up. The next letter, the Dalet, is meant to be pronounced with a Dalet and what's called a Cholim, an O kind of a sound. Afterwards, Do, like that. Sometimes you'll have people sort of slur that O and add something. Again, listen to people in the Davin, you'll hear, unfortunately, many, many mistakes. Pronounce that properly. Place an emphasis. Add Do, okay? And over here, the last two letters also, we have to try to pay attention to, also, often mistaken. The last two letters of the Shem Hashem, first and foremost, we should remember that the emphasis is supposed to be on the end of the word. In other words, right now, again, leaving out the first half, so we don't actually say the Shem Hashem, but the Noi part of that name is actually supposed to be the part that's emphasized, right? The emphasis on the end of the word. More than that, the Mishnah Berurah points out that the correct pronunciation is with what's called a kamas at the end, the A sound, the A and the Yud, for an Oi sound that's there, not an I sound. Let's make this clear. Many, many people mispronounce anyway the kamas, that A kind of a vowel. We have to try to get that correct. There's a tshuva on the Abia Omer of Rabbi Avadji Yosef. Chazanish held like this as well, but one might claim that the Chazanish maybe wasn't authorized to paskin for the Sfaradim. Certainly Rabbi Avadji Yosef is. There's a tshuva in the Abia Omer where he points out, and again, like I said, this is echoed by other poskim as well, that even for Sfaradim, who tend not to differentiate between the sound of a kamas and the sound of what's called a pasach, the one line versus the little T value, an A and an A, and a Sfaradi, like Israelis who will generally pronounce all the vowels like an A sound, Rabbi Avadji Yosef writes in the Tshuva that the Sfaradim as well should be makbid when they're saying the Shem Hashem to emphasize the A sound at the end for the Oi sound as opposed to the I that's there that many people do. Again, ask your own local Sfaradi poskim what exactly is supposed to be done with that. The last Hashem of Hashem that we'll mention that's covered in this Siman and Shulchan Aruch, and then we'll call it for the morning, of course, is the name Elohim. Whenever we make a brach, we speak about Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem being our God. The Mechaber brings down, when we say the word Elokim, a person should try to have in mind that he's the Baal HaYecholes Uval HaKochos Kulam, which basically means that God is omnipotent, which basically means in simple English, God can do whatever he wants, okay? To be mezalzel a little bit, but to get the point across, we would say God is the man, okay? He can do whatever he wants. He's in control. He runs the world. He can make me. He can break me. He gives us money. He gives it, takes away the money, etc. Elokim means he's all-powerful, almighty, as some might have heard the expression used way back when in archaic English. And again, when we're speaking of it, when we're saying the word Elokim or Elokeinu like that, that's the basic idea that we have in mind. Not only is he God, but God is that all-powerful, awesome being. And again, like we just described, if a person tries a little bit, even once a day when he's making a bracha, to think about those concepts while he's saying the Shemos of Hashem, the person has gone a long, long way to invest his brachas with a little bit more meaning. And Amir Tashem, that is certainly the goal of what's the making the brachas are meant to be. Have a great day. Amir Tashem, will pick up next week.